Welcome, everyone. Yesterday my colleagues have talked about OpenACS in setups with high concurrency, high number of users. Today I'm going to talk about something very different in requirements, but still using OpenACS and somewhat displaying its capability of scaling both up and down. So first, some TCL relevant facts about me. In 1984, my father founded L'Elettrotecnica. It's a company that is providing components, consultancy, and bespoke development for industrial automation. And in 1985, I'm born in Mantova. In 2009, I get my bachelor degree. Then in 2010, the family company adopts an ERP based on OpenACS called Alter that was developed by OSI Software. After a few contributions as a customer, I start collaborating with them on other ERPs for the private sector, and there I meet and network with Claudio Pasolini and Maurizio Martignano. In 2012, I leave OSI Software and I go back to my studies while also maintaining and extending the Alter ERP as a fork for the family company. In 2013, I become an official member of the new asset of the company, and I'm also accepted as an official OpenACS contributor. Then finally, in 2015, I get my master's degree, and I go back to working for OSI Software for a short while, this time mostly on systems for the public sector. This brings us where we are today, more or less. So in 2016, I accept a job as a system manager for the LEARN system at the Vienna University of Economics and Business, where we are now, supervised by Professor Gustav Neumann. So basically, what I do now is mostly contribution for the LEARN platform and together also for the OpenACS upstream project from here in Vienna. I still maintain the Alter ERP for the family company from remote in a support and development capacity. And I'm also sometimes involved in projects where some more generic IT that is not the classical industrial automation is required. And this is one of those projects. The case study is an established business specialized in the manufacture of construction glass. Construction glass is, for example, the glass that is used inside of homes or, for example, also from the outside, that of skyscrapers and so. And among the tasks that are carried out during the processing of this construction glass is also the processing of special plastic materials that give the glass special physical properties, colors, and mechanical properties, depending on the use that is going to be done of this glass. The plant that where this work took place looks something like this. And basically, these materials are purchased in reels. This reel has different properties, for example, the kind of resin, the thickness, the length, the color, and so on. And the machine that is used to process these plastic materials has 10 rolls, which can, at any given time, be loaded with up to one reel. But only one of those is active, and it's the one that is being processed by the operator. We can see now a simplified diagram of... So the machine won't necessarily look like this, but it's useful to understand how the process works. So we have these 10 rolls. On every roll, we have a different reel, potentially different reel. And at any given time, only one is active and is used by the operator. So there was already a system in place. This system was composed by a control PLC that was responsible for the actual operations of the plant. A measurement PLC that was in charge of measuring the material that was consumed during the current session. And then an HMI interface that was basically the control computer. So it was running the user interface and also an OPC UA server that was communicating with the measurement PLC. So the components all together already constituted a small SCADA system. Now I go a little bit quickly in the nomenclature. So what is a PLC is basically a computer that is specialized for industrial use cases, so optimized for reliability in real-time applications. And in the picture we see here, we see like a domestic kind with maybe tens of I/O ports, but they can range up to thousands. And it was born in a time where PCs were not that common. Now the tendency is for PLCs and PCs to converge in a way. Sometimes possible to implement a PLC also using, let's say, off-the-shelf components like Raspberry Pis and so. But still, because of their high reliability, PLCs are still much in use in industrial setups. OPC UA, what is it? So basically, it's the second iteration of this open platform communication protocol, which back in the days was dependent on the Windows Windows framework. Then around the late 90s, the OPC Foundation, together with other key players in the industry, decided to come up with a new specification that was not dependent on Windows anymore. What is it? It's basically a series of standards for industrial telecommunication. So it's a model that allows components to publish variables or operations, and other components to access these variables and act or trigger the operations. Basically, it's a layer for interoperabilities. What is a SCADA system? So a SCADA system is a system composed of PLCs, remote terminal units, connected to sensors, actuators. They communicate together via a protocol. Normally, there is a computer or something like a human machine interface somewhere at the end of this system, collecting the data, displaying them to the user, and allowing them to act and operate the system. This is a simplified visualization of how the existing system was working. So we have the processing plant, controlled via physical interface, namely buttons and levers, controlled by a control PLC. The control PLC would speak with the measurement PLC, and then the HDMI would communicate via OPC UA with the measurement PLC. The operator would act on the system via the physical interface on the control PLC or via the touch panel on the HDMI. This one is the sequence diagram of the existing system. Okay, so we see the actor was actor in this case is the operator. So it was responsible of maintaining the list of available reels by operating with the user interface on the HMI. We need to store a reel, then set up the reel as loaded on a certain role, then set this role as active. The control PLC would relay the information to the measurement PLC, which would then reset the measure length, inform back the HMI that the role one was active in a way that the current available length would be retrieved, sent back to the measurement PLC in order to be checked during the operation, and then the information relayed back to the user, who would then know, OK, I have this much available material on my reel, and the role one is active as I wanted. During the processes on material, the control PLC would inform the measurement PLC that some material is being processed, and then the measurement PLC would relay back the amount of material that has been processed, which would then stored by the HMI and also given back to the user in order to get a feedback. The new system had some functional requirements. So basically what they wanted was to keep an accurate long-term history of the material consumption, which so far was not possible. Why? Because the HMI could only store the currently available reels, which had to be loaded by the very operator that was operating the plant. The HMI had only a limited amount of persistent memory, so there was some back and forth between the purchase office that would actually know what material was there and the operator who would have to input this, basically do the data entry in the on the plant manually. The idea was that now the purchase office would maintain the list of available reels, which would then become immediately available to the operator, so that this extra passage was not required anymore. Also, one requirement was that UI should remain familiar with the operators in the plant, so possibly the HMI that was already there would need to stay. So from the functional to the technical requirements, what does this mean? It means that we need a big, whatever this means, long-term storage, the possibility to structure the information in a data model, which for me translated automatically in a DBMS. Some form of access control, because now we would have different users, well, in the simplified model, two users, but still with different access privileges. So we needed some form of access control. We needed something that was viewable on the HMI, and the HMI could understand either VNC or basically it would run a web component. The data had to be accessible from the existing system. This means that we needed some capability of communicating via OPC UA. And of course, it had to be reliable and small. The components I've chosen for the new system, well, of course, OpenACS, because it's web-based, because I knew it could run on very limited, probably it's not the right term, but smaller devices. It has a built-in access control, and it runs the Postgres DBMS. The next component from I've chosen, well, I was very happy to realize that a binding for the OPC UA protocol exists in the TCL community. It is part of AndroWish by our own Christian Werner. And it's based basically, it's a wrapper over a very reliable OPC UA implementation that is endorsed by the very OPC Foundation. So it's based on solid basis. As the hardware component, I have chosen an Olinuxino A64. It comes from the Bulgarian Olimex company, which is quite popular in the open source environment because they produce products that are open source hardware and also software. So one can download the schematics, apply changes to the design, etc. But in particular, for my use case, this was suitable to work in the industrial minus 40 plus 85 degrees temperature range. It's a fanless device. And as you can see, it's relatively beefy. So it's a quad core, 2 gigabytes of RAM, plenty of storage, plus an SD card slot. So it would give me plenty of computing power and storage for my project. The new system now would look something like this. So compared to the previous diagram, there would be an extra SCADA unit, which would be basically the single board computer running OpenACS, communicating with the HDMI via HTTP, and also via OPC UA in order to exchange the information that is already exchanged on the HDMI unit. The purchase office interacts directly with the SCADA unit via PC, while the operator uses the HMI. Well, basically, the user interface will run here now, but the operator will still interact physically with the HMI interface. The new system, the sequence diagram of the new system looks now something like this. So we have an extra actor, the purchase office, different from the operator. They will be responsible of storing the reel. And now we have a SCADA unit that is going to be responsible of storing the assignment between a role and a reel. And then during the regular operation, so we set the role as active, the measurement PLC will reset the measure length, will give the information to the OPC server, and then via OPC, the SCADA unit will know that now the role is active, get the loaded length, and then send it back to the operator. During the process of material, the operations are similar to before, but the amount of material that has been processed now will be stored and saved in the SCADA unit. Some notes on the new system. So the operator is still interacting with the HDMI touch panel, but the UI is, of course, now stored on the SCADA unit. The SCADA unit will also produce a daily report via CSV, which is shared with management via a network share. In a sense, the new SCADA unit is both a supervisory computer and also a small ERP, because it is also used by people that is not part of the industrial plant. Now some details on the SCADA unit. So at startup, the unit subscribes with a number of OPC variables that are published by the HMI, which now acts more as an OPC server. These variables are stored in a configuration file, and I will show you how this would look like in a moment. The HMI requires a trivial self-signed certificate, so I had to basically create a stupid certificate because encryption was required by the OPC server. An interval that was good enough for our use case was 500 milliseconds. Here we see an example of the configuration file. Basically, what you need to know is those are the certificates, this is the host, and these are the variables that we use. As you might notice, some of them are repeated, but they refer to different roles. So there are the same parameters, they are repeated among different roles, for example, the remaining length, some flags, and so on. Yes, the subscription process was implemented in a way that there were continuous checks and error handling in place, because restarts and temporary losses of connections can happen in the productive environment, and the system had to be possibly should the system should be tolerant to complete power cycles. A callback is registered for every variable subscription, and then it reacts depending on the status of specific flags. For example, if the flag end of operation is active, then we take the quantity of material that is currently stored on the measurement PLC, and we save it and put it in our database. Yes, this is an example of a simplification of the data model. So we see the reel has some properties, brand thickness, plastic type, color, etc., and others. A reel can be installed on a roll. It's at most one relationship. And then when the reel is saved, basically we have a versioning, a very simple versioning system that is basically the reel itself plus a timestamp in a way that at any point in time we can reconstruct how the storage of reels would look like at that time. This is a screenshot from the user interface in the plant itself. As you can see, it has been optimized for a small screen and high legibility. There was a sort of negotiation with the customer. These are alarms that might blink depending on special conditions. And these are the properties from the reel. And this is the measurement of the currently remaining length that comes directly from the OPC UI subscription. This instead is an example of the interface that is available to the purchase office. It's much more OpenACS-y, if you are familiar, and it uses the Bootstrap team from Monika Andergassen, and in a way to keep the look and feel consistent. A new team was created in a way that I could apply local customizations. For example, this menu had to be simplified in a way that there was not so much clutter on top, and so on. Challenges during this project, yes, a couple of small bugs. The OPC server, my specific OPC server, would create negative IDs for the subscription, for the node subscription, and this was so had to be sorted out. But Christian was very reactive and helpful, and he gave me a lot of very good pointers. The HMI browser was a bit sensitive to reloads, so we had to work around it by possibly doing a lot of AJAX. At first, I was thinking of using WebSockets for updating the user interface, but this came up to not be possible. The HMI browser does not support WebSockets. We worked it out with some fast AJAX, and it came out okay. Yeah, of course, some requirements we can clear only along the way. And yeah, my another extra challenge was that all development happened remotely. And in fact, I haven't ever seen the actual plant. This was the funny part of it. Of course, special thanks to Christian Werner for implementing TOPC UA and providing very quick support during this project. And also to our in-house technician, Stefano Piccinini, for the, his expertise and support on the field. Thank you all for watching. Here are a couple of contacts and pointers for the components I've used in this project and from me. Thanks a lot.
Short time for questions, yeah.
Hi, Antonio. Most of the industry uses Microsoft as a basis for the OPC UA. Did you use an open source solution or Microsoft?
The OPC UA server, it was running on the HMI, and this we did not change. The HMI is a VineTech touch panel. This was the name of the brand. And it's not open source, but it runs a protocol that is, of course, open to integration from open source third parties. And this was the key point in the whole project.
Maybe a short question from my side. I mean, how long is this now in place, and what are the experiences with the system in terms of reliability or
We had one problem that was not OpenACS related. Basically, some unattended upgrade kicked in at the wrong time, but we sorted it out. And apart from this, the system has been very reliable, and it's in production since an entire year now. Yeah, maybe a little shorter than a year, but the customer is satisfied, and it's running very smoothly. Yeah, of course. It's of course. I mean, this is we could market it. Yeah.
Thank you for the presentation. Can you talk a little bit about? Did you have to make the OpenACS as small as possible? And if so, you know, what were the most important?
The installation was really the classical installation. So this install script one can find on the OpenACS webpage, a recent CVS checkout. And I made it small, but just because I didn't need a lot of stuff. So it's basically only the core packages, the classic database interface, And then, of course, I had to install the OPC way and make it part of the Tcl installation. But I didn't have to trim it especially for this use case. I mean, the single board computer, it's small, et cetera, but it's relatively beefy, so there were not many constraints. It could probably run on something even smaller. But, I mean, the difference also in money was not the question, so I decided, okay, let's stay comfortable. And
did you do anything in about tuning in the config file of Navi server?
Not really. It runs a fairly vanilla installation. And this also tells something about the downward scalability.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.